Word with you this afternoon. If you would turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 46 and read to the end of the chapter. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." And where I really want to go is verse 46. And Jesus asks a question, and this is a question that we can ask each one to ourselves. "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now, this is a very thought-provoking question for each and every one of us. Because why do we call Him Lord, Lord, and not do the things which He say? You know, we give Him lip service by calling Him Lord, but the proof is to be found in what? How we obey Him. And what I like is, let's look at verse 47 for just a little bit of time. I like verse 47 because we've got three statements that He makes here a little bit in this verse. And it says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." So we've got three things here: coming to him, hearing him, and doing them. So we can see, whosoever cometh to me. We come unto him because if we have to know him for who he is. Who is he? He's God. Cometh to him. We must believe that he is, don't we? We have to believe that he is who he says he is, that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why would we go to someone if we don't believe in who he is? I mean, that would be kind of ridiculous, wouldn't it? Going to someone and asking them for help if we didn't believe that he could help us. But we have someone that we can go to, and we believe him for who he is. He is the true and living God that resides in the heavens, and he's in control of everything that happens in this world. And that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. Are we diligently seeking him each and every day of our lives? Brother Leroy, the other day, he sat there and was talking about the whole armor of God. Now, that we diligently seek him. We've got to diligently seek him what, Brother Jimmy? Every day of our lives. We've got to continuously, diligently seeking him. And one of the things that Brother Leroy brought out, very wonderful, and it just warmed my heart, because everybody knows I love the book of Ephesians. When he went to the book of Ephesians, or the whole armor of God, it was just really wonderful. And he was bringing out that, you know what, there's a couple of things that you need to do. One, you have to put on the whole armor of God every day. And that, you have to put on that whole armor of God, and that you have to do it every day. That was the other part. You have to do it every day. Because, you know, our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And if you don't have on that whole armor of God every single day, what happens? Satan is crafty, isn't he? And he finds that chink in the armor, doesn't he? So if we don't have something on of that armor, he finds out and he realizes that we don't have it. And where is he going to attack? He's not going to attack our strong points, is he? He's going to attack the weak points. And that's what he brought out. You know, so, you know, we have to be aware every single day. We have to diligently seek him. We have to come to him each and every day. The Bible teaches us this. He teaches us that what? His blessings are new every day. His mercies are new every day. He gives us bountifully of his grace each and every day, doesn't he? But we have to believe that he is. And we have to obey what he's telling us to do all the time. The second thing he says, that you have to hear my sayings. We have to hear what he's saying unto us. Now, that takes a special ear because, you know, we have all been born with ears. We can hear, can't we? But you know what? The Bible says, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. We have to be born again of the Spirit of God. Because the natural man can what? The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. You just cannot do that. We were talking about that at lunch. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. So we had a natural ear, but in the regeneration, we receive what? Spiritual ears. We receive spiritual eyes. We receive a new heart. We receive a new heart. See, that old heart wasn't good any longer. Because it had been hardened through what? The deceitfulness of sin. So he had to even give us a new heart. A new heart. So that we could take those things in and everything. The things that we read each and every day. Reading this wonderful book that God has given unto us. You know, we're in such an age today that it's just so wonderful to be able to read the King James Version of the Bible. You know, so many people sit there and say, I can't understand the King James Version. It's so hard to understand. But you know what? That's that natural man again. Because you know what? If you give it up to the Lord, if you give up your whole body and soul and spirit unto the Lord, He's going to open your understanding so that you can understand the words that are contained in here. You know, when it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That seems to be pretty plain, doesn't it? I mean, what's hard to understand about that? What's hard to understand that Christ died for all those that God, His Father, gave unto Him? It seems very plain unto us. But our eyes have been opened up, our ears have been opened up. We can hear those things. Isn't it wonderful that this message that Brother Jimmy spoke unto us this morning, that we could hear that message? Not only hear it, but it could go into our very hearts and we could understand it. That is just wonderful. As we were talking at lunch, you know, Brother Jimmy could preach that message for every Sunday for an entire year. But until your understanding was opened and your eyes were open, your ears were open, that message wouldn't do you a bit of good. Wouldn't do you a bit of good. So when the Bible says, praise God from whom all blessings flow, praise God for everything that He has given. You know, we should be praising God each and every day of our lives for the things that He has given unto us. It's not nothing that Brother Jimmy can give, not nothing that I can give or any other elder can give unto you. That has to come from God. Our understanding has to be opened up from Him. From Him. Now, the last thing he says in verse 47 is that we need to do them. So it's not only just coming unto Him and hearing them, we've got to do the things that He tells us to do in our lives. And that is what? That means that we have to obey Him, don't we? We have to obey. Now, there's some things that are contained in here that maybe we don't like, do we? You know, we can't sit there and choose. We can't sit there and start taking parts of the Bible and sit there and say, you know what, I'm going to do what it says here, but you know what, this just conflicts with my lifestyle. So you know what, I'm not going to obey God in something such as this. Now that's not right. We need to do everything that He tells us to do from Genesis to Revelations. We can't sit there and pick parts that we like, because that's not obeying Him, isn't it? That's not obeying Him at all. We're being rebellious to Him when we're not doing the things He says unto us. If we don't obey the words that are in here, is He the Lord of our lives? Is He Lord? If you ever go around and you see bumper stickers. I like looking at bumper stickers. Some of them I don't like to look at because there's not good things on there, is there, Brother Jimmy? There's not good things on there. But you know, there was one, and at first it seemed okay, but it said, God is my co-pilot. You know what? I don't want God to be my co-pilot. I'm sorry. You might think, that sounds kind of ridiculous. You don't want God? No, I want God to be the pilot of my life. I want Him to be the pilot. I want Him to be in control of it. We have to give it up to Him, don't we? And that's what we need to do. It was interesting, as we were coming here this morning and we were traveling from Pigeon Forge and coming across, and a billboard caught my eye. And it sat there, and there were only just a few words on there, maybe about 4 or 5 words, and it said, I know everything, God. And I thought, wow, what a great billboard. And that's all that was on this thing. And you know what? He knows everything. He does know everything. He is omniscient, He is omnipotent, and He's omnipresent, isn't He? But He knows everything. And because of that, and knowing that I know everything, God, doesn't that make us want to obey Him more? Because He knows everything that goes within us. He's the only one that knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. He's the only one. I don't know what everybody's thinking about out there right now. I don't know. But there's one that knows everything that we do, everything that we think. And in Psalms it says, you know what, O Lord? He says, Thou knowest the words even before it comes out of my mouth. So He knows everything about us. So we should be like God would want us to be in our lives, each and every day of our lives as we get up. Now, He says, now I'm going to show you who this person is like. It's not just the man, it's the women also. He says, He's like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, as we can see, that here is a man, and he was going to build a house. And he dig deep to lay that foundation. Now, to dig deep, to me, is saying, you know what, that's going to take a lot of work and a lot of effort. Now, if you just think that you can go into this word right here, and you can just flip through them pages and read them, and think that you're going to find all the knowledge. No, it's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of effort. And to dig in the Scriptures and to find, I think Brother Leroy calls them, or other people, you know, try to get them little golden nuggets that are out of there. And I think you've heard me say before that I had a gentleman that I knew when I worked at my one place, that he sat there and he says, I just don't get you Christians. He says, why do you always read the Bible? He says, you know, if you read it once, why do you have to read it again? And I says, see, that's it right there. You just don't understand. You don't understand. And you could tell that the Lord had not entered into his heart at all. Because every time you read the Bible, you get something different out of it, don't you? And it could be that same verse or that same chapter you read. But you know what? The Lord opens up your understanding, you know, and it means something a little bit different to you. And you just find those things. And you're just constantly going for those little golden nuggets. You know, if we would try maybe as hard as some of these people who are searching for the gold, then we would find those things in there. The hidden mysteries that are contained in the Scriptures. You know, he just keeps adding upon it. You know, I like the one verse where it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. You know, if we would have that desire as that newborn babe for that milk from the mother, you know what? That's a desire, you know? And that we would grow. As that baby has to grow from that milk, we need the sincere milk of the Word that we can grow thereby. Because we have to grow. We need to continue to grow. That growing process is going to continue to grow. As Brother Jimmy said, you know, we're sinners, and we're going to be sinners until the day we die. You know, we are going to continue to grow. If you think that you're going to get to a point in your life where you're not going to grow anymore and you're not going to learn anymore, I need to pray for you, because you're going to continue to grow. I know Brother Jimmy grows. Brother Jimmy learns things all the time. We all need to do that, because if we don't, what are we going to become? We're going to become stagnant. We're going to be stagnant. And then what does the Bible say? If the salt has lost its savor, what is it good for? It's good for nothing. So we need to continue to grow in the Lord. So it says, you know what? You got to dig deep and you lay that foundation upon the rock. Now this is a message not only for individuals, but also for the church. The church. Because you know what? You got to lay that foundation upon that rock. And we all know what that rock is. That rock is Jesus Christ. And as we as individuals, we need to sit there and obey the Lord. The church needs to what? Obey the Lord. We don't have to obey anybody else. We don't have to obey a bishop or a deacon or the pope or anything like that. Who do we need to go to? Who do we need to worry about? And who do we need to obey? God. That's it. That's it. So the church and the individuals, you need to lay the foundation upon your faith, your religion, your marriage, your home, everything. If you want to be profitable, if you want to continue to thrive as a family, you have to have built upon everything upon the rock, Jesus Christ. That's it. Your faith needs to be built upon that. If it's not built upon that, everything, as Brother Jimmy was reading, is vanity. It's vanity. It's empty. It's worthless. It's nothing. It's nothing. Why do we want to do this? Because when the flood's going to come up, the stream is going to be vehement upon that house, and you know what? You cannot be shaken. Why? Because everything is built upon Jesus Christ. So when all these things come upon us, we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through temptations. There's a lot of things that are going to happen unto us. But you know what? If our faith is founded upon Jesus Christ, Satan cannot shake us. Cannot shake us. Remember, when he tempted God, or when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, what did he sit there and say to him? If thou be the Son of God. So he was trying to get Jesus to even question that he was truly the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God, do this. Okay, now, see, Jesus, he's smart. He's smart. Let's admit it. You know, he's God incarnate in the flesh, you know. So if God knows everything, Jesus knows everything. So he knows what Satan's trying to do. So he knows that if I do what Satan tells me to do, then I'm admitting to him, basically, I'm not the Son of God. So he didn't do that. And he rebuked him with what? Scripture. He went to Scripture and said, here is what it says, why I shouldn't do that. So it's wonderful. So when Satan comes upon us, and he's attacking us, what do? We go to the Scripture. And we can sit there and rebuke Satan for what he does for each and every one of them. Obedience is not the cause of eternal life. But it is what? It is the evidence of it. So, if you want evidence they have eternal life, obey the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we always want to put the cart before the horse, don't we? So we got to do it the right way. So, obedience cannot be the cause of eternal life, but it is the evidence of it. How wonderful it is. But now if we look at, see, he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So he sees somebody that doesn't want to put any effort into it, does he? He doesn't want to put any effort into it. So see, we have to put some effort into it. And he didn't. He didn't dig down deep. He didn't build it upon a foundation. He didn't build it upon a rock or anything. So what happened? It just fell. When the things come upon him, it just fell. We got to watch out. You always got to have that good foundation. Anybody knows that. You've got to do that. Because if you don't, if you're a bricklayer, and if you don't have a good foundation, what happens to the wall? If that foundation is not right, and you start laying that brick, and that foundation's not level, what happens? Well, your wall is a little crooked. And when it's crooked, and you start getting up, what's going to happen? It's going to fall over. So that's another kind of little metaphor. You've got to do those things. Now, we're going to go to some places in the Old Testament. I was glad to hear Brother Jimmy go into the Old Testament. We're going to go into the Old Testament. We're going to see some examples of people that obeyed God and some examples of people that did not obey God. First place I'd like to go to is 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Starting in verse 12. And when Samuel arose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit. A little bit of background to this is when Saul had went out, the Lord told him, go to this city and utterly destroy it. Don't save anything. Destroy every little bit. Man, woman, child, beast, whatever. Destroy it all. But what happened? Saul didn't do exactly. But he thought that he did. He says, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel came right in real quick. Well, how come I hear this bleeding of the oxen and of the sheep? What is this noise then? If you've destroyed everything, what is going on? Well, dropping down, into verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great sacrifice in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken or listen to him than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So we can see Samuel sits there and says what? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, or to listen unto him. So we need to obey him. We need to listen to him. We can see what happened to Saul. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So we should not reject the word of the Lord. We should obey him to continue to show us approved of the Lord. That's what we need to do. We can see here is an individual that should have said it and should have lived his life. Because the God, Israel had won, had sat there and said, you know, we want a king, we want to be like everybody else. See, and we have to understand that we're not going to be like everybody else, are we? We're not. You know, and they wanted a king. Well, we want to be like everybody else. We want to be a king. We want a king. And they gave him a king. And so the Lord God had lifted Saul up to lead Israel. But he did what? He thought he was above the Lord. We can't think we're above the Lord. We have to listen to him because we are going to pay for the consequences of our actions. It's very plain and simple. We will pay for the consequences. And Saul paid for the consequences of his actions in those regards. Let's turn to the book of Daniel for just a little bit. I'm not going to read a lot of the verses that are here because it kind of gets a little overbearing. But in chapter 3, we see the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And King Nebuchadnezzar had made a decree that when everybody heard this music played, that they were supposed to bow down and worship this image. And there were three of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they sat there, and they would not do that. And in chapter 3, in verse 12, it says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So they were what? They were not obeying the commandment of the king. They were obeying who? They were obeying God. You know, because in the Ten Commandments it says what? Thou shalt serve no other gods. Thou shalt serve no other gods. So they were living that right then and there. Thou shalt serve no other gods. We should be the same thing. We should not serve any other gods. And let's look at it. There are little gods that are in the world today. And we should not be serving those gods. Now, dropping down to verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image with that which thou hast set up. So we can see in verse 16, these three children said, you know what? We can answer you right away in this matter. We don't even have to think about it. I don't have to think about the answer. I can give you that answer right now. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. The God that we serve can deliver us, and he is able to deliver us from any trial or temptation. He can deliver us from the fire. He can deliver us from the fire. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But look at him, verse 18. But if not, be it known that we're still not going to serve you, your gods. We're not going to bow down. So no matter what happens, we're not going to do it. So they weren't worried about it. Isn't it wonderful to not worry about it? You know what? To live is Christ and to die is gain. Isn't that what it says in the New Testament? So they were probably looking at it. And they were probably living the thing that it was said in the New Testament in the Old Testament, weren't they? To live was to be to worship God, and to die to them was gain. Because they knew even unto the bitter end that if they would die, that you know what they were going to do? They were going to be obedient to the Word of God. We were not going to serve your gods. We're not going to worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And we know, we understand, and we see what happens after that. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, he was just, you know, he got really mad. It says the countenance of his visage had changed. And he said, you know what? Don't just heat that furnace up. Heat it up seven times hotter than what it normally is. This furnace was so hot that when they went to throw the three of them in, it actually killed the people that threw them in there. Verse 23, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonied, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Why isn't that wonderful? Here they fell down into this fire. It had killed the men that threw them in. So we know this fire was hot, don't we? It was hot. But now here's not only three of them, there's a fourth with them. There's a fourth with them. And they're walking around in the midst of this fire. Remember, they were bound. They were all bound up to get thrown into the fire. And now they're loose, they're walking around, and the fourth is what? Jesus Christ. Walking in the midst of them. It just amazes me, you know, that this can happen. But God is able to deliver. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, he sat there and he says, O Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out. Come out. When they came out, do we fully understand what happened inside there? I don't know if we fully understand. When they came out, not a hair was singed on their head. Not a bit of their garments was burned. Not even the smell of fire was upon them. See how powerful God is? He's all powerful, isn't he? That he could do something such as that. Because why? They obeyed him and didn't worry about the consequences of obeying him.
See, you know, in today's age, as Brother Jimmy was talking about, you know, the dating of today, you know what? We're so much worried. Sometimes I think we're not so much worried about our Christianity as how much we can have people like us in this world today. And not worried about that. See, we're too much worried about that in this world today. And we should be more worried about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Because we know what happens. You ever have around by a bonfire, you're burning some branches or anything like that, and you get too close to the fire, don't you? And you throw a branch in, the flames kind of come up, and you look at the back of your hand, and you ain't got no more hair on the back of your hand, do you? Because it's all singed. And if you get too close to the fire and it gets a little smoky, and you go in the house, like I'll do that because we live on 10 acres of land and we've got a lot of trees and we burn a lot of branches. Sometimes we get a little bit bigger fire than normal, but you get the smoke and everything and it gets on you. And my wife's like, "No, don't you dare come in this house smelling like that. You know, you ain't coming in here like that." You get outside or whatever, change the clothes or whatever. Or, you know, I'll give you some clothes, you change it. You're not going to come in here. You're not going to sit down on my couch and get it all smelling like that and everything. So we can see that in the world today, we can see those things. What happens? But yet see the power of God. And none of this was upon these men. See, with man, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So this is what we have to think about. All things are possible. A little bit later on in the book of Daniel, we can see that the people in there, they did not like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't really like Daniel either, because they knew they were Israelites. And the people of the land of the Persians, and everybody, they were trying to find something always against them. And, you know, it's amazing that it says that, you know what, the only thing that they could find where they could accuse Daniel was in regards to the Lord. To the Lord. It's the only thing. So these people knew, even them, you know what? It's just, you know, people take notice that what? You have been with the Lord. Remember when Peter and James and John, when they healed the crippled man in the temple, and the consul who was the Sanhedrin, the consul, you know, these were all supposed to be the geniuses, the really, you know, knowledgeable people in Israel, you know, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, these were the ones. But look, they sat there and they noticed that these were unlearned and ignorant men, but took note that they had been with Jesus. Took note that they had been with Jesus. So now we see Daniel, and they knew that the only way that they could get rid of Daniel was what? To find out something that he would not go against the Lord on. And they sat there and they said, you know, all these people sat there and said, you know what, we're going to get the king to make this decree that, you know, you can't ask any petition of anybody else but the king. And if you did, you'd get thrown into the lion's den. And Daniel, I can't remember exactly where it is now. He sat there and Daniel, after he had found out that the king had signed the decree, the king signed it. And as soon as he signed that, I think the words are, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, it could not be altered. So Daniel, as soon as he knew that it had been signed, went to his house and sat there in front of the open window and prayed unto the Lord. Prayed unto the Lord. So he knew everything. I believe Daniel even knew what these guys were doing. And he says, you know what? He could have sat there and he could have went back into his house. He could have closed the curtains and sat there and prayed unto the Lord. But that isn't what he was doing all the time, was he? So he left them curtains open and he says, you know what? I'm going to do what I've always done to the Lord. Just because they signed this, the Lord wants me to pray unto Him as the Lord wants us to pray to Him every day. He says, you know what? I'm going to continue to do this. And he did it. He wasn't worried, again, about the consequences. See, we're so worried about the consequences. We're so worried that people aren't going to like us. You know, if people find out that I'm a Christian, they're not going to like me. You know, if we tell somebody we're a Christian and they don't like us, that shouldn't matter to us. It really shouldn't. But we get so worried about that. You know, but Daniel wasn't worried about that, was he? He did it. And he was thrown into the lion's den and nothing happened to him. Now we know, we can read history books, you know, and we know that like in Rome when they sat there and they were, they wanted to get rid of all the Christians, what would they do? They would throw them to the lions, wouldn't they? And they would make sure that, okay, we're not going to give them anything to eat for a while. So they're going to be really hungry. And I'm sure when they threw Daniel, these lions were hungry. And we can see only the God of heaven could stop the mouth of the lions. He was the only one that could do that. And Daniel came out, what? Unharmed. Unharmed. You know, we should be like the Apostle Paul. He was on the road to Damascus. And when that light shone round about him, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he told him who he was. And after that, what did Paul say? "What wilt thou have me to do?" Isn't that what we should be saying unto him every day? "What wilt thou have me to do this day?" You know, my father-in-law, he always sat there and he says, when he prayed, he always said, "I'm just so thankful, Lord, that I'm yet another day in the land of the living." And you know what? We should be thankful that we are yet another day in the land of the living. You know what? He's given us another opportunity to serve Him. You know, if we would think of that as we go into each and every day, you know what? He's given an opportunity to serve me, to serve Him. You know, no matter where we go to work at, you know what? We need to serve Him. It doesn't make any difference where we work at, what we're doing. You can make a difference. You can make a difference. And we can't hide the fact of who we are. Who we are is what we are. We cannot change that fact. We cannot change the fact that when we came forth and asked for home in the church, we were saying basically what? "I want to be identified with Jesus Christ." So if we're ashamed and we're out into the world to sit there and the Bible, if we're ashamed we're out into the world that we will not tell people that we're a child of God, you know, that's saying we're ashamed of Jesus Christ. And he says, "If you're ashamed of me, I'm ashamed of you." And he should be ashamed of us if we don't do that. And you can make a difference in people. I've heard stories from different people and that have went in and like when you go into some of these gas stations and they have some of these cigarette lighters, you know, and you can see they have the little women on there and, you know, it's you know, people have went in and said, you know, "That offends me. That offends me." And I've heard of people that have had them taken out of stores. One thing I've always told at the church up at Mount Zion, silence is acceptance. Silence is acceptance. So if you don't say anything, then you're accepting that that's okay out into the world. So we can't keep silent on things. We have to stand up for what we believe in. Stand up for these things. We need to be separate. The Bible tells us, come out from among them and be separate, doesn't it? Come out from among them and be separate. Now, I'm not saying we're better than they are. We're no much different than they are. They're sinners, we're sinners. There's only one difference. There's a difference. That's why he says, come out from among them and be separate. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. That's the only difference. The Bible tells us what? "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We have all sinned. We're going to continue to sin until the day we go in to the grave. We cannot serve two masters, can we either? The Bible tells us you cannot serve. So if we believe the Bible for what it is, we cannot. You cannot serve two masters. You can't do it. It is entirely impossible to do that. You're going to hate the one, love the other. You're going to cling to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God. You can't serve the world. What is the world? The world is Satan. That's what it is. You can't serve both of those masters.
You know, I think Joshua, he said in the Old Testament when Israel was going over, you got to choose this day whom you're going to serve. You can serve either God or you can serve the gods of the land in which you're going in to possess it. Why do you think God told Moses and told Israel, you know, when you go into the land which God has given you for an inheritance, throw out all those gods? Because he knew that what? They would snare him. But what did Joshua say? But as for me and my family, what did he say? We are going to serve the Lord. His brother Jimmy was talking about the head of the house, the father. What did he say? He spoke for his house. And what happened then? As he said, for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. That responsibility fell upon who? Joshua. That him and his family would serve the Lord all the days of their life. In closing, turn to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to start reading at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So in verse 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father. What is that saying? He that obeys my Father. He that obeys. In verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. For child of God, that's the words that we never want to hear. We want to hear the words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I thank you for your kind attention this evening, this afternoon.